are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again on this Rapid React Victory Monday. The 49ers take down the Saints in New Orleans, 48-46. A back-and-forth wild game. We're going to get into it. Game notes, give out some game balls, talk about the implications on the playoffs and how things look for the 49ers going forward here the last few weeks. And the Niners are back atop the one seed in the NFC where they rightfully belong, I think, this season. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show, all your favorite podcast apps. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock, and you can go to LockedOn49ers.com to find everything you need with this podcast, where to subscribe, and some other stuff there about your San Francisco 49ers. I think one of the things we have to talk about first here, before we get into the game notes and what actually happened on the field, coupled with that Seahawks loss to the Rams on Sunday Night Football, the Niners now lead the NFC West again and have the one seed in the NFC. But obviously, this thing has to play out, and the Niners still have to go to Seattle and win in Week 17, most likely for that to really come to fruition and the 49ers to get that top seed in the NFC and win the West. But what the 49ers, coupled with the Seahawks loss, does, even though the 49ers still have to go to Seattle to win if both teams win out the rest of the way here, what it does is it buys the 49ers an extra game. So what if the 49ers lay an egg one of the next 2 weeks against the Falcons or the Rams? It won't matter because the Niners will still be in the same spot, go to Seattle, win, and they have the NFC West. So it gives them one game of leeway. Otherwise, if both teams would have won out and the Seahawks would have won Sunday night, then the 49ers couldn't lose or else Week 17 wouldn't matter. And what it means is if the Seahawks lose again and the 49ers win the next 2 weeks, then Week 17 won't matter to the Niners. They could rest their starters if they want, and that Week 17 matchup won't even matter. But right now, it still matters. The Seahawks beat the 49ers once, and the first tiebreaker is head-to-head. So if they have the same record, which they would if they both went out and the Seahawks beat the 49ers, the Seahawks would have the tiebreaker. So the Niners still have to win in Seattle Week 17 as things stand. Another important thing to bring up here is that the 49ers, and obviously all the naysayers and all the people that talk about who have the 49ers beaten, I mean, that's all out the window. That's done. That conversation's over. And the 49ers have come out of this gauntlet battle tested. No team has ever had to face a three-game stretch like the 49ers have with the teams that had the record that the Packers, the Ravens, and the Saints had. Those are playoff teams. The Saints were the one seed coming in the NFC. The Ravens were the one seed in the AFC. The Ravens squeaked by a last-second field goal. The Niners crushed the Packers at home, blew them out, and then went into New Orleans, a really difficult place to play, and beat the Saints in a wild shootout. The 49ers have won almost every type of game that you could play this season. They've won in multiple ways. And this time it was the offense and Jimmy Garoppolo throwing for 350 yards and four touchdowns. And I thought about what this team is like right now. And it's amazing how good this team is. They've been banged up in quite a few spots and had fill-ins play really well. And the depth has shown up for the 49ers. But what's crazy is the 49ers, I don't know if they win this game in September because there were different starting wide receivers, right? Jimmy Garoppolo is still developing and getting better and better, played his best game. Would Jimmy Garoppolo have been ready to play this good in November against a team like the Saints? Or in September against a team like the Saints? Emmanuel Sanders wasn't on the 49ers. Deebo Samuel had some development to do in his rookie season. So a very different team. And when you talk about the 49ers lost to the Seahawks by 3 points as the seconds ticked off in overtime. No George Kittle, no Emmanuel Sanders. Would the 49ers have won this game then without those guys? I don't know. They have the best roster they've had right now this season, and it's crazy to think that in December how much better of a team I think they are because of those skill players and because of the development of Garoppolo and Debo Samuel and having a healthy Emmanuel Sanders out there and having, obviously, George Kittle, who's the heart and soul of this team now, out there. They might not have won this game in September or November, but they won it Sunday. And there's a lot of reasons why. And it's funny because I take so many notes during a game, and basically all these first quarter, second quarter notes I took, I mean, we could do a whole podcast, 30 minutes worth of just the last two drives in the fourth quarter. So I'm going to skip some stuff probably based on the ton of notes I have. But let's start looking at some of these things. And I guess we have to start with the end of the game because that was super fun. And I lost count of how many lead changes they were in this thing, but let's go to Jimmy Garoppolo. And it was amazing. This stat from Nick Wagner: Jimmy Garoppolo joined Steve Young in 93 and 94 and Jeff Garcia in 2000 as the only 49ers quarterbacks with at least three games of four pass touchdowns in a single season. So with 4:30 to play, 49ers get the ball. Jimmy G scrambles for a first down. Then he's sacked. 49ers trying to go up and try to seal this thing. They had multiple opportunities to seal this thing late. Garoppolo sacked with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, setting up a 3rd and 16. And this was going to be a play that, and now it's going to be sort of a footnote that a lot of people will forget about, but I think this is going to be a huge play that a lot of people would have talked about for a very long time. Play action call by Kyle Shanahan. Von Bell, blitzing safety from the Saints, gets to Garoppolo, sacks him, setting up that 3rd and 16. If they hand the ball off to Raheem Mostert, first of all, upon replay, there's a huge hole for Mostert there, and it was 2nd and 5? The game likely ends there. You run out the clock. And instead, the 49ers have to settle for a Robbie Gould field goal and still are only up 5 points. And so you give the ball back to Drew Brees, and it's a 2-minute drill for the New Orleans Saints. So you don't feel that great about that. The 49ers calling a pass and started trying to keep the clock going, keeping the ball on the ground. It backfired, and they got a sack. And I think a lot of fans were getting very worried at that point. And I thought, oh, no, that's too much time to give Drew Brees. And it's amazing how accurate that was. That was way too much time, so much time that they scored fast and gave the ball back to the 49ers. 24-yard line, the Saints get the ball on that 2-minute drill. The Niners have to win it on defense versus a Hall of Fame quarterback. And that is a tough, tough task. Brees is tasked with driving 76 yards, putting the ball in the end zone because a field goal will not do it. Tre'Quan Smith, 11 yards, moves the sticks on the first play. That gets him to the 2-minute warning. Brees, hit by Emmanuel Mosley on a blitz, gets it off but incomplete, and then Sherman leaves the field. And what happens? Confusion on the 49ers defense. DJ Reed enters the game. He's not in position. Brees sees it, finds Ginn right away, uncovered for a first down, big gain across midfield. Then Brees hits Michael Thomas to the 24-yard line of San Francisco. Witherspoon nearly had a chance to seal it, could have had an interception. Again, another play that's going to be a footnote that people will forget about, but a huge near play that could have sealed it for the 49ers. He could not corral the interception. Brees gets another shot, 3rd and 5 from the 24. Pressured, throws incomplete, but there's pass interference call on Emmanuel Mosley. That gives 1st and 10 from the 18. Tre'Quan Smith is hit by Brees on a crossing route, finds his way into the end zone for a touchdown, and the Saints take the lead. Try a 2-point conversion, no good. Up one, 46-45, but man, maybe they scored too fast. And indeed they did. They give the ball back to the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo with 53 seconds left. Okay, coming up, we will break down the final 53 seconds of that game. The final game-winning drive from Jimmy Garoppolo, multiple heroes on the 49ers offense, some notes about some other players and throughout the rest of this game, and of course, give out some Week 14 victory game balls. If you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcasts for the year. Take a screenshot and tag me at BD Peacock and at Locked On Live on Twitter, and we will share and retweet. I've already seen a bunch and retweeted some. So cool to see how many minutes and how much time you guys spend with me, and I do love seeing it because I don't always know. I mean, I don't get to spend as much time with you as you get to spend with me. So thank you, and I'm sorry for that. But please, yeah, I would love to see your Spotify Wrapped. Tag me on Twitter, and we'll share it. Guys, do you remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And they're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code locked on to try it free. Blue Chew is the cheaper, better, faster choice. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Jimmy Garoppolo went over 3,000 yards on the season in this game, by the way. And would you look at that? Drew Brees went down the field and scored so fast that the 49ers still had 53 seconds left, down only one, 46-45, a chance to kick a game-winning field goal. And 53 seconds is kind of a long time in today's NFL when you have all three timeouts as the 49ers did and the offense is humming as the 49ers offense was. And you only have to get into field goal range, which cuts about half the distance you have to cover off. First and 10, Kittle for 8 yards, timeout with 45 seconds left. Second down, incomplete. Good coverage on Sanders, a slant to Sanders there. They tried to get a little rub action. Did not work. Good coverage by Lattimore there. So third and 2, 42 seconds left. The Saints coming with a blitz. Incomplete to George Kittle. That would set up a fourth and 2. About 39 seconds left. The play clock running down. Niners are forced to call another timeout. Not ideal, but you got to get the play right. One timeout left, and boy, did they get the play right here. A little out run by George Kittle from the slant, and Jimmy Garoppolo looking at him all the way, and just a big boy play. The biggest boy of big boy plays from George Kittle on this one, a 39-yard catch and run, rumbling down the sidelines. He caught the ball just on the other side of the first down marker and just kept it going. Turn it upfield, ditches one guy, and then carries Marcus Williams for a while, I think about 20 yards after he made first contact. And Williams is holding on for dear life, grabs his face mask, so you get the face mask penalty on top of it. And honestly, it's a good play by Williams to grab his face mask, because if he doesn't, Kittle might still be carrying Marcus Williams around the city of New Orleans. Like, he might have taken it the distance, so whatever. I mean, you know, 15-yard penalty, at least you get the guy down and he doesn't just rumble all the way into the end zone there. So that would set up a 30-yard field goal for Robbie Gould. Two ticks left on the clock, and it is good. He took his time with that kick, too. He didn't try to crush it. Just nice and easy. A pitching wedge right through there. 30-yard field goal. 49ers win it. 48-46. An instant classic. The first time there's ever been a 48-46 game in the NFL. So much unique about that game, and so many players playing a role, obviously, and the 49ers offense doing work on really the first time this season we've seen the 49ers defense get torched. And they did. One of my keys to victory in this game was that 49ers pass rush and how the 49ers have played against pocket passers this season. And they were averaging 10.6 points per game allowed as a defense. And Drew Brees comes in and throws 46 points on the 49ers. So the defense could have played a little bit better, but you got to tip your cap to Sean Payton, and Drew Brees and the Saints offense, man. They are good. And after this gauntlet of games that the 49ers have played, they've played some very good teams now. I really feel like it's clear that the 49ers and the Saints are the best teams in the NFC. And I think they're both a notch above the Seahawks and especially the Packers. And the Seahawks are a beatable team. With George Kittle and Emmanuel Sanders, I have no problems with the 49ers going to Seattle. I think they can win that game in Week 17. They just have to play well and play their brand of football. And we saw Sunday night that the Seahawks are beatable. And the 49ers almost knocked them off without Kittle and Sanders. And we saw in this game how important Kittle and Sanders are. And the other team the 49ers just lost to by 3 points is the Ravens, who might be playing the... I think they are playing the best football in the NFL. Might be the best team in the NFL, or right there. I think the Chiefs have something to say about that. They beat the Patriots Sunday. It's going to be fun. No matter what happens the rest of the way, it is going to be a lot of fun for sure. But speaking of Emmanuel Sanders, I want to talk about Sanders and the 49ers wide receivers. A great stat line for Sanders on the day, not only his 7 catches for 157 yards, that's a 22.4 yard average per catch there. He had the touchdown reception, but maybe even more important, the touchdown pass. So Jimmy Garoppolo throws for 349 yards. He's averaging 10 yards a pop, 4 touchdown passes, a quarterback rating of 131.7. It was perfect at halftime. Drew Brees, also 349 yards, 8.7 per. He throws for 5 touchdown passes, his quarterback rating of 138.4. Neither as good as Emmanuel Sanders' quarterback rating of a perfect 158.3 on his 35-yard touchdown pass. The guts of Kyle Shanahan. That's definitely something I want to get into here, is the Shanahan versus Peyton, which made this thing, I think, more fun. Both of those coaches, two of the best offensive play callers in the NFL and play designers, just emptying out their playbooks. That's what made this game so fun. I mean, it obviously was a tight game. It was back and forth, but watching those two guys at work was really cool. And that's why these two teams put up 48 and 46 points respectively. But Emmanuel Sanders, about the only thing, the only blip on the radar for him was that drop. And it led to the Jimmy Garoppolo interception. And that was about the only bad play from the 49ers offense the entire game, really. Looking at the rest of the 49ers receivers, Debo had a nice catch and run, a 25-yarder. He was targeted 8 times, came down with 5 of those for 76 yards. And of course, George Kittle, who rumbled for 39 yards on the biggest play of the game to set up the Robbie Gould field goal. He had 6 catches for 67 yards and a touchdown. Raheem Mostert is explosive. I mean, the dude's just super explosive. And earlier on in the game, I talked about Matt Breida. It was nice to see Matt Breida back, and he's got such good vision and such good feet. Breida and Mostert are very different, and it looks like Kyle Shanahan agrees with me. It's Breida and Mostert. And Mostert has earned the right to maybe get the load of the carries, especially with Breida nursing an ankle. But Breida averaged 9 yards per carry. He had a 28-yard long. He carried the ball 6 times for 54 yards. Raheem Mostert, 10 carries for 69 yards and a touchdown on the ground, plus the reception from Emmanuel Sanders on the 35-yard touchdown. But Mostert is so explosive. That burst when he's got space is crazy. And as fast as Matt Breida is, I think Mostert's even faster. But Breida's got a little bit more... He's a little bit more smooth, and so they're a very different style, and I really like them right now, the way they're playing and being a 1-2 going forward. I might still put Matt Breida as the 1 and Raheem Mostert the 2, but I would not be surprised at all if those carries are exactly even the rest of the way, and I think Tevin Coleman's definitely taking a back seat because he's just not as good as those two guys, and it's not a knock on Tevin Coleman, and he's got some value in the passing game, but right now, you're handing the ball off to Breida or Mostert if you have the opportunity, in my opinion. Let's see. Richie James, he got a nice little wildcat carry. I like the idea early in the game in the red zone. It went for -1 yards. It didn't work, but obviously, he's showing something in practice, and it looks like Kyle Shanahan every week has one little wrinkle for Richie James. I'd like to see him on the field more, but at this point, who can Richie James be on the field for? Because I've talked about Sanders, I've talked about Debo, and we've got to talk about Kendrick Bourne, who's shown up since those drops against the Seahawks. I mean, he's shown up big. He only had three catches, but two of them were for touchdowns. He's become, I think, the number one red zone weapon for the 49ers offense, and making a couple catches in traffic, two touchdown catches. He's been a big part of what's going right now with the 49ers offense. He's definitely a distant third to Debo in Sanders, and he doesn't give you much down the field. He doesn't give you a ton after the catch, but he can get open and he can catch the ball, and that's important. And Kyle Shanahan trusts him. Looks like Jimmy Garoppolo trusts him, and he's a useful player for the 49ers right now in the red zone. So props to Kendrick Bourne. By the way, a nugget that I read that I didn't realize during that game, I can't remember who tweeted it out, but Kyle Juszczyk was an option wing T style quarterback in high school. So that play, which is one of the fun plays that Kyle Shanahan drew up in that game, where he took the handoff and then had an option pitch out to Raheem Mostert for a nice game. That's something that he's used to doing from his high school days. Okay, we've got to get to the game balls. I've got a few more notes as well. Some Saints notes, some coaching notes, and some defensive notes for the 49ers. And yes, there was a little bit of defense played in this game. And of course, give out some game balls. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/LockedNFL. Again, that's using /LockedNFL at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts.com/offers. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment, and if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find them online at gregstaxservice.com. The 49ers defensively did a really nice job against Alvin Kamara in the run game. He only averaged 1.9 per carry on his 13 carries, but Mike's in the end, and the Niners did a good job there early, but in the end, Michael Thomas got his 11 catches, 134 yards, and a touchdown, 15 targets, just heavily targeted. He's so much more targeted than anybody else on the offense. Jared Cook, two catches, but two big catches, both touchdowns, and the 49ers were susceptible, especially early in that game, with the linebacking group and the strong safety situation with Marcel Harris playing for Jaquaski Tart. And so I've got to give props to Sean Payton. And Sean Payton versus Kyle Shanahan, already talked about it. It was so much fun to watch. I have a bunch of notes about that, but don't have time to get into all of it. But just a great game plan coming in from Payton, and it was obvious. And he was attacking the young linebackers for the 49ers, specifically those outside backers, and then Marcel Harris. And it worked. It worked really well early in the game. 49ers made some adjustments and started playing a little bit better, but still, the Saints offense was just really hard to stop. And Drew Brees can't sling it like he used to, but he's still so accurate and he's so smart. He knows where he wants to go with the football and can still drop dimes. And he did have some really nice throws in that football game. Looking at the defensive side of the ball for the 49ers, I got to give some props to Nick Bosa and the rest of the front seven and the secondary. It's funny because they gave up 46 points, but the defense didn't play that bad. I would credit more Payton and Breeze than I would knock the 49ers defense, and they definitely weren't perfect, but they made enough plays. There was a really big one from Witherspoon, a pass breakup on Michael Thomas on a third down play that set up a Will Lutz field goal. I think it was 35-33 at that point, but really good coverage one-on-one with Michael Thomas down the left sideline. Nick Bosa, the play that Nick Bosa made, Bosa did have what? He had one sack, right? He had multiple pressures. I mean, he was just so active. He's such an active player. I believe that was the only sack. Did he not get credit for a sack? I thought I'm not seeing a sack on the official statistics, but I thought he did have a sack. He had a really good tackle for loss. So did Eric Armstead on it was a little toss play, a weak side toss to Alvin Kamara. But the best play from Bosa, I think, was that hustle play where he peeled off from his pass rush to bat a ball down that was trying to be dumped off to Alvin Kamara. So still play pretty well. I do want to give some credit to those guys, even though, you know, the 49ers defense statistically gave up 46 points and they were the best defense in the league coming in. You got to give some credit to the Saints, obviously. DJ Jones stripped the ball from Kamara, was a huge play in this game. Buckner jumped on it. First fumble loss by New Orleans all season, which is really hard to believe. And at that point in the game, after the four touchdowns early for the Saints, they scored touchdowns on their first four drives. And in fact, that's the first time, I think, in the Super Bowl era, or no, since the year 2000. It's the first time in 45 games. So basically, teams were 44-0 if they scored touchdowns on their first four drives. The 49ers ended that streak Sunday. 44-1 now for teams that score touchdowns on their first four drives. And the 49ers got four stops after that that went at the end of the first half and into the second half. So the defense did tighten up despite all the points that were scored in that game. What else? I have so many notes here, I won't be able to get to all of it. Joe Staley, welcome back, Joe Staley. The 49ers were hurt, and I thought it was going to be the thing that killed the Niners in this game was the penalties. It was one penalty all game for the Saints. The 49ers had at least eight, and I think there was more. I kind of stopped counting, but three false starts, one each on Staley and McGlinchey, one on Garrett Celek. A formidable opponent, too. A good Saints defensive line, Cam Jordan, the whole group. And they played pretty well. The offensive line played well, but there was just too many penalties on the 49ers. Some defensive holding, there was a defensive pass interference. Some of them are ticky-tack, yes, but still too many penalties for the 49ers. That is one thing they need to clean up. It's one of my keys to victory is that turnover battle, penalties, the kicking game, the small things, the small things that really good teams do, and that's one thing the New Orleans Saints are good at is those small things, and that's why they've won a ton of football games. But a huge bummer about Richburg and Weston Richburg's knee injury. We'll find out more about what that actually is Monday, but he was on crutches. Guys were hugging him. It did not look good. He might be out for a while, potentially for the year. Ben Garland jumping in at center. And lucky for the Niners, they got some pretty good depth there. Ben Garland played pretty well. And I think overall, the 49ers offensive line did a good job, and they were really running well behind McGlinchey for a big portion of that game as well. One more little note here. I do want to shout out Deontay Harris, man. Jitterbug, that dude was making big plays. And all the things you talk about all week long, you never think, oh yeah, there's this dude who's wearing number 11 and he's going to hit you for a big kick return and a big punt return, both in the first quarter, great field position, just being an X factor. You're looking at all these things that could hurt you if you're the 49ers. And this dude, Deontay Harris, out of nowhere, just making big plays in the return game, a couple of big plays on offense, breaking ankles on a reverse. Another first down in the third quarter. Almost the X factor making a bigger impact in that game than the X factor you thought was going to kill you potentially would be someone like Taysom Hill, who did some things, but the 49ers defense was at least up to enough of the challenge to hold the Saints to 2 points fewer than the Saints were able to hold the 49ers to. 48-46. The 49ers improved to 11-2, the number one seed in the NFC, the top of the NFC West, with a lot more to come to figure all of that out. The last 3 weeks of the season, the Saints fall to 10-3. Let's give out some game balls. Got to give one to Jimmy Garoppolo. His best game? I mean, statistically, yeah, he's throwing four touchdown passes, 350 yards. a really good game. The interception was not on him. Fantastic. Awesome. And he's getting better. And I talked about it. Like, we haven't seen the best of Jimmy Garoppolo yet. This Jimmy Garoppolo is a playoff winning Super Bowl caliber quarterback. Like, he was up to the challenge. That's one thing I love about this team is the fight they have, the attitudes they have. These guys compete. Jimmy Garoppolo competes. Nick Bosa nonstop competes. George Kittle, like, nobody's more competitive. The attitude that these guys bring. And by the way, the next game ball has to go to George Kittle making the play of the game. I mean, he had 6 receptions in that game, blocking his butt off as he usually does. He might be the most impactful offensive player in the league, let alone on the 49ers. And that's crazy to say about a tight end. Definitely the most impactful non-quarterback on the 49ers and probably in the league. Like, that's how much of a difference George Kittle makes to this 49ers team. I fully believe that. So George Kittle gets a game ball, made probably the play of the game in a game where there was a lot of plays of the game candidates. Emmanuel Sanders, he had the drop that was tipped that led to the interception, the only ding on his resume on a day where he caught 7 balls for 157 yards and a score and threw for another touchdown for him to get that ball away and make a nice throw to Mostert. Big time play. That was huge. So Emmanuel Sanders, you get a game ball. And the final game ball, I think it has to go to Robbie Gould. Exercise some recent demons, I think. Fans were getting very worried about the kicking game, very worried about Robbie Gould. I saw tons of people in my mailbags and on my timeline on Twitter, emails into the show that were not only worried about it, they were calling for McLaughlin to be the guy that got the job going forward for the 49ers. Robbie Gould, 2 for 2, none bigger than the game winner with 2 seconds left. I think the 49ers, and especially 49ers fans, can rest easy knowing that their kicker situation is fine. Robbie Gould is a really good kicker. He's been a good kicker in the NFL for a long time. There were some hiccups, obviously, this year, some misses. He did slice a few. There's been some snapping, holding issues, but there's no problem with Robbie Gould. He can kick a big field goal for your football team. I think the 49ers learned that, and people can rest easy about the Niners kicking situation right now, thanks to Robbie Gould's game winner, and maybe just a boost of confidence for him, which will make him kick better, I think, going forward. Looking ahead for a second, 49ers have the Falcons and Rams at home in the next 2 weeks and then go to Seattle for the finale. The Seattle Seahawks are at the Carolina Panthers next week, and then we'll get the Cardinals at home and then the 49ers at home. So there's a good chance it all comes down to week 17 against the Seahawks. The 49ers, though, have some wiggle room. They can lose one of those games against the Falcons and Rams, still go to Seattle and win that game and come out on top and have a bye in the playoffs. So that is the outlook going forward. It's going to be a mailbag episode Tuesday. I know you guys have a lot on your minds. I want to hear your thoughts on that football game and the 3 upcoming. Hit me up on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. I'll be talking with Aaron Freeman on Wednesday doing our usual crossover, this time with the host of Locked On Falcons. He does great work over there. Excited to talk to Aaron Freeman. Of course, a weekly wink with Nick Winkler Thursday, and we'll be back at it. Keys to victory for week 15. There's only 3 weeks left in the regular season. I can't believe it. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.